Good afternoon. So today I'm going to talk about the effects of far-red photons on canopy photosynthesis and plant growth and yield. So to start off with some quick background information, we know that not all photons are equally efficient for photosynthesis, and photosynthetic efficiency under monochromatic light drops quickly in the longer wavelength far-red region. So right now, only photons from 400 to 700 nanometer are generally considered to be photosynthetically active. But if we look at the spectrum of sunlight, there is a lot of far-red photons. And I started to look at the photosynthetic values of those photons back when I was a grad student at University of Georgia working with Mark Van Ersel. We found that those far-red photons synergistically interact with shorter wavelength photons to increase leaf photochemical efficiency and photosynthetic rate. And the reason for this is if we look at how photosynthesis works, I know Mark is laughing, he's seeing this too many times. So the light reactions are carried out by two serials. Serially connected photosystems, photosystem 1 and photosystem 2. Under shorter wavelength light, such as red and blue or white LEDs, photosystem 2 is relatively overexcited than photosystem 1. So when electron moves from water to this rate limiting step, it'll get stuck here because the downstream photosystem 1 is limiting the rate of reactions. But far-red photons preferentially drives photosystem 1, and this will help to relieve the bottleneck and speed up the photochemical reactions. So my current work at Utah State is focused on scaling up from leaf level to canopy responses, and we use lattice as a model crop. The x-axis on this graph shows the photosynthetic photon flux density integrated over 400 to 700 nanometer. And canopy photosynthesis of lattice increased with increasing light intensity provided by a cool white LED. And this is a pretty typical light response curve. We then added different amounts of far red on top of this base level of cool white light. You can see that PPFD barely increased, but photosynthesis increased a lot. So light intensity no longer explains the photosynthetic response. But if we plot the same data, just use a slightly different axis. So instead of only counting photons within 400 to 700 nanometer, we now integrate all the way to 750 nanometer. And you can see a much better correlation. And this also shows that on incident photon flux basis, adding 10 to 30% of far-red photons caused similar increase in photosynthetic rate as adding white photons of the same amount. You may not also notice that if we only provide far-red, the photosynthetic rate was really low, and this just means far-red by itself is inefficient for photosynthesis, and its effect is through synergistic interaction with shorter wavelengths. We expanded this study to look at the responses for like 14 crop species, including leafy greens, fruiting vegetables, and monocots with C4 photosynthetic pathway. And we found it's a common response that far-red photons can be used equally efficient in the presence of shorter wavelengths. So since then, we conducted long-term growth trials, and I built a multi-chamber whole canopy gas exchange system, as shown in this photo, to continuously monitor photosynthesis over the entire course of the study. And we grew lattice under a white light or a mix of red and blue light. You can see that one of the two chambers under each type of light had lower amount of photosynthetic photons that's conventionally defined. But we added 50 micromole of infrared, so all four chambers had equal total photon flux if we integrate from 400 to 750 nanometer. They also had same fraction of blue photons of 30%. We grew the plants under a 14-hour photo period for about 3 weeks, and I repeated this whole procedure 5 times. What we found was at harvest, plants grown under white and red and blue treatment produced same amount of total biomass, including root and shoot. But plants grown under infrared produce about 35% more biomass. And this is a pretty big difference in terms of plant growth. And the question I wanted to answer here is whether this growth difference among the treatments was caused by radiation capture or difference in photosynthetic efficiency, or perhaps both. So let's look at photosynthesis first. The data shown here is a representative data set from plants grown under white light. You can see that both photosynthesis and respiration went up exponentially over time. And plants grown with infrared started out with similar photosynthetic rate, and this is whole canopy data, but they gradually outperformed plants grown without infrared, and this is consistent with the harvest data you just saw earlier. I'm going to zoom in to get a closer look at the data from the last couple of days of the study. So those dips in photosynthesis were when I briefly turned off the infrared for 20 to 30 minutes. And this confirms that infrared photons directly contribute to canopy photosynthesis. You can also see the plants grown with infrared, that's the orange line, they had higher photosynthetic rate during the day, but they also respired more at night. So from this data, we can calculate the net daily carbon gain, which is the amount of carbon that gets incorporated into the biomass as night photosynthesis minus respiration at night. It also turns out plants from the two treatments respired similar fraction of carbon they made during photosynthesis, and carbon use efficiency was about 60% for both groups. So moving on to the radiation capture component, I took the plants out of the gas exchange chambers and took top-down photos just for a couple minutes, and took the top-down photos of the canopies every day. And we started out with uniform seedlings. 2 weeks into the study, plants grown with infrared, that's on your right-hand side, and showed more leaf expansion. And the difference at harvest was pretty striking. So by analyzing those photos, I estimated percentage ground cover combined with leaf light absorption and gas exchange data. I can break down plant growth into its 3 components parts, so radiation capture, canopy quantum yield, and carbon use efficiency. Radiation capture shown on the top of the graph is the ratio of photons absorbed by the canopy to the total incident photons, and it increased over time and had faster increase in the infrared treatment. But canopy quantum yield, which is most of carbon fixed per mole of photon absorbed, was on average 7% lower in plants grown with infrared. This simply means For plants grown with far red, they need to absorb more photons to produce one mole of carbon. And we thought the reason for this might be plants acclimated to far red had lower chlorophyll content and also thinner leaves, and most likely the leaf photosynthetic capacity per leaf area basis got downregulated, and carbon use efficiency was similar. So those three components together determines daily carbon gain. Again, that's a matter of growth rate, and daily carbon gain was higher in plants grown with far red. So the overriding factor that determines plant growth rate was really the faster leaf expansion with far red, and those plants ended up accumulating more biomass because of increased radiation capture. So with this, we concluded that far red photons directly increase photosynthesis. They also increase plant growth by promoting radiation capture. And I hope I have convinced you to at least reconsider the photosynthetic values of those far red photons. And with this, I'd like to thank NASA for funding and Biosun Fluence for donating lights. And I'm happy to answer any questions you have. I have time for questions. Okay. Yes.
So when they do have any hypothesis or potential maybe reasoning why the far red light increased the respiration?
So the question was if I have any hypothesis or why far red light increased respiration. Maybe I didn't get the message really clear. Actually, the far red, plants grown with far red and plants grown without far red, they had similar carbon use efficiency. That means the respiration efficiency was similar. They didn't have increased respiration. So the respiration rate, just the absolute value, that was higher simply because the canopy was bigger, but if you look at the ratio of the fraction of carbon they respire to the total carbon they assimilate, the carbon use efficiency was the same or similar.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Yes?
I don't recall seeing data on the stomata conductance.
So the question was if I measure stomatal conductance data. No, for the whole canopy gas response, I didn't measure stomatal conductance. But to validate the whole canopy data, I did use a LICOR system to look at leaf level response. And that, like with adding far red, we saw if we add, say, 50 micromole or 15% of far red photons compared to adding 15% of background white light photons, we saw similar increase in photosynthetic rate. But stomatal conductance with the far red was actually lower. So it's not a direct stomatal response, or the increase in photosynthesis was not caused by more opening of stomates. Does that answer your question? Sure. Any? Yes, Mark?
How did you perform by radiation capture? Is it just based on canopy size, or did you actually measure light of walking below the canopy?
So that we actually, it's our best estimate. I tried to use like a quantum bar, but I couldn't get accurate measurement. So I took those top-down photos, analyzed the green pixel, get the percent ground cover, and then at the end of the study, I sampled leaves and measured their leaf light absorption. So for the early fraction of the study, I just assumed I only had one single layer of leaves, so I simply applied leaf light absorption with the LED spectrum and then with a percent ground cover estimated absorption. And then I knew my leaf error index at the end of the study. I applied an empirical model to gradually increase the estimated absorption efficiency with my percent ground cover. And it's not super accurate, but that's the best I could do at this point. I could read more and see how maybe I can better adjust for the canopy light absorption. Or if you have suggestions, I'm happy to talk to you. But you're responsible, I guess. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.